So today is January the 10th. When's the Super Bowl this year? Is it in a couple of weekends? No, it's more than that, right? I mean, we just start the playoffs now with the wild card games. February 13th. So I said to Amy Kite, and she almost hit me. Fortunately, we were on the phone. So, Amy, you weren't able to hit me the other day. But I said, hey, right. Amy, should we wait until the weekend after the Super Bowl to sell our homes? And what did you say?
Absolutely not.
And why did
Let's
you,
go now.
Why did you say that, Amy Kite?
Well, because we ended the year with the lowest inventory we have ever experienced, with 1.2 months. Back, if you remember, April, May, June, when all the craziness was going on, and we had people lined up outside of houses 20, 30 deep to see them.
Yeah.
We had 1.7 months worth of inventory. We actually have less inventory right now than we did then. Plus, we have the issue with interest rates increasing. So, yeah, if you're a seller now, do not wait. There's no reason to wait unless you're just not ready. Go to the market now because the buyers are out there and they're looking for properties.
Well, that's it, though. I think that's the reason people just say, what's the point? Because even though inventory is low and interest rates are going up, there's nobody that's going to come and look at my house. They don't do that in the first weeks of the year.
Oh, yes, they do. We actually put 8 under contract last week.
So what kind of houses are we talking about, Amy?
Everything. So, I mean, it could be a condo, a townhouse, single family homes, and on all price ranges. So literally the buyers are out there right now. They waited until maybe after the holidays, maybe got a little tired, took a little time off during the holidays. But now with those interest rates increasing, we're going to see buyers have to make decisions. One of them is going to be, I'm not going to buy. I can't buy now. I can't afford a property now. And it could be, you know what? I've got to find something out here that works for me because the interest rates are only going to continue to increase, and I'm going to afford less and less the more they increase.
Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity is on a phone line. All right, here's, I think, the $64 question for people then. Should I say my house is a $300,000 house, whatever that means, right? The market will decide, but let's say it's a $300,000 house. Should I list it at $289 and hope that I get $310, or should I list it at $305 and factor in from the get-go that the market is going to give me more than it is quote-unquote worth? I mean, what's the best pricing strategy, Amy? Let's pick it up here in a minute. Amy Kite, the realtor whose commercials you hear sometimes here on WGN, whose voice you hear with David Hochberg Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., is on a phone line, and she and I were talking the other day about how to price a house this winter. And Amy, you said, don't wait until the Super Bowl. And then I said, so how do you price a $300,000 house? What would you say to that, Amy?
Well, I'm a big fan of pricing right at round numbers. We have to consider how people search for homes, and generally they're forced to search by round numbers. So if that were my property and it were valued at 300, I would tell you, you need to list it at 300 or slightly below 300. The reason why you choose the 300 mark is you're actually going to get the buyer who's looking from 250 to 300 and the buyer who's looking 300 to 350. So you actually get two different buyers looking at it. If you price it at 299, you're actually going to miss that 300 to 350 buyer. So I'm a firm believer in the round numbers. If the value is really a little off that round number, then you may price it just a little bit below. Drive the buyers in there, right? And then you can get multiple offers and actually sell for maybe more than what the property is determined to be worth.
Right. So put another way, say it's a 325 house, you would say listed at 321 and figure you'll get momentum going up rather than gambling at 326. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I'd be very careful about overpricing it. You're better off underpricing it slightly and then driving numerous buyers because they'll drive your price up even above what the typical value is.
Is that still happening, Amy?
It is, yeah, because we have such a lack of inventory right now. Absolutely.
So what do you make of the Zestimates, these Zillow estimates of what people's homes are valued at?
They are literally there for entertainment purposes only because they've never physically walked in your house or any of the other homes. So they don't know exactly what it is. All they can say is, listen, based on what the homes in the area have sold for, maybe square footage, which may or may not be accurate, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, we say, we think your property's worth this. But nobody's been in there. They don't know whether you've got a basic kitchen or whether you just put an $80,000 kitchen in there. So none of that's accounted for.
Well, weren't they in the business of buying houses and trying to flip them based on their own estimates, and they got in big trouble because they couldn't sell them?
Yes, they got out of that business.
Do you count the basement when you do your square footage?
Only if it's above grade can you count it. We can register it, but it has to account for the fact that it's not above grade.
What does above grade mean?
Above grade means physically that you can walk out above grade. So it's a walkout basement where you walk out and it's above grade.
Okay, but then the basements I'm imagining, finished basements where there's a ping pong table and a washing machine, those never count then.
And not if it's below grade. They don't count. I mean, you certainly get added value because you have a finished basement, even if it's below grade. But if it's above grade, you're taxed on it too if it's above grade. So.
Oh, no kidding. It's a different equation, or it's more square footage to be taxed?
Correct. It can be.
Oh, then I'm going to seal that door. I'm going to put a pile of dirt there and say, well, we can't go out, so you can't tax me for it. Because for some people, that's another 30% of the usable space in their house.
Yes.
All right. Answer.
And it's nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a fan of finished basements, although I've had houses that did have finished walls and houses that didn't have finished walls. And at least one thing you know, if the walls aren't finished, if the basement isn't completely finished, is if you get water, you don't mind tearing up the wall or the carpeting, right? But I guess that's a commercial for PermaSeal I'll do down the road. In the meantime, what about this? Amy Kite's on a phone line, the broker at Keller Williams Realty Infinity. We all know that kitchens and bathrooms are where to put the money if you're going to improve it to sell it, right?
Correct.
And that adage still holds true in your mind, right?
Correct.
Where are places that people put money that you is ill-advised, that you would say you shouldn't have done that? Give me examples of mistakes people make.
We've seen people go and finish off closets. That's nice for somebody, but it's not going to increase the value, the amount of money you put into a finished closet.
Really?
I will be honest with you. There is some controversy on whether solar panels are actually value add or not. So solar panels may not be the best place to put that. If you find a buyer who appreciates it, that's fine. And that's what it comes down to is if you happen to find a buyer who appreciates the upgrade you may get some money out of it. But other than that, that buyer may not be willing to pay you for that.
It's the aesthetic in that case, right? I mean, those are fine things, and they do lower your energy bill, but now you got panels on your roof. Some people don't like the look of that.
Correct. Correct. They don't want that. And then some people have leased them, and now, then the question is, who takes over that lease? Is the new buyer willing to? I can tell you, we've got a situation right now where a new buyer is not willing to take over that lease, and so the seller is having to pay off the $23,000 for those solar panels.
Got an email over the weekend, now that you mention it, from somebody who had an in-ground indoor pool. And they said, boy, is that house hard to sell. 5 years. Evidently, they aren't aggressively trying to sell it, but they've been interested in selling that house for 5 years with an in-ground indoor pool, and they can't move it. What do you think of that story?
We actually just sold one with that exact same thing. And it wasn't the easiest property to sell by any means. And yet what we found in the end is we had a lot of people who were looking to buy it as Airbnb. So that may be a market to take that house to.
Is that a way to list your house perfect for an Airbnb? I don't see that in ads. Of course, I don't look much, but I mean, do people market their homes that way?
They really don't. And yet, as we had this property listed, that's what we found. We had people calling in saying, were there any restrictions for them, if they wanted to use it as an Airbnb? So it was interesting. We kind of found, that's something we need to think about.
But I guess there must be some covenants in a lot of neighborhoods. It would seem to me like that's getting more and more restrictive as a way to own a home, right?
100%. We are getting people who are calling us now saying, hey, can I rent this condo Airbnb? And yeah, there are very few that are allowing it now. Fewer and fewer.
Amy Kite's on a phone line and she says, 1.7 versus 1.2, is that the months out inventory that you quoted me earlier?
Right, we are at 1.2 now, yes.
Which means that there's even less inventory on the market now than there was last year when things were going crazy. Don't wait for the Super Bowl, Amy yelled at me last week. She said, not that I'm in the market to sell a house right now, but I was so wrong. She said no, and I said, well, then say that on the radio. This is kind of a little golden window here if with interest rates going up to try and sell your home. Somebody also, what was that I saw? That the popular color for interiors now is kind of a muted olive kind of green. Do you have any feelings about popular colors and what we should paint the interior?
We've just been saying stay the neutrals. So, you know, you're either doing like an Edgecombe gray, a grayish of some sort. So it's a muted color, but give it a little bit of something on the walls, but avoid the pinks and the yellows and those kinds of things. So more of those warmer earth tones or the grays.
Wallpaper's popular these days, isn't it?
It is coming back, yes.
I wish it wouldn't, but I've been stripping wallpaper lately, but the wallpaper is a thing. I guess if it's in good condition, you can leave it. Would you say that, Amy?
Oh, yes. If it's in good condition and it's a neutral, then yeah, it shouldn't be a problem.
What if it's a wallpaper that is 100% of the Chicago Bears?
Well, for the right buyer, it may be just fine, but that Packer buyer is not going to like your bare room.
Well, but one last note then. I mean, that's true about everything, right? Take president books off the shelf because maybe a Republican hates the Democrats. Maybe a Democrat really hates Republicans. And if you've got an Obama or a Trump book up there, would you say strip that out?
Absolutely. It's the same with, you know, religious and that kind of stuff, too, that we advise people to remove.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think interest rates, last question, Amy, are going to bottom out? I mean, where's that going to go? It's not going to go to 10%. It's not even going to go to 5%, right?
Well, we don't know how far they'll take them, but we're almost at 4 now, John. So don't say 5 is out of the question by the end of the year, because it really could be reality.
Amy Kite. Okay, I hope that helps. The broker at Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Stay warm. Oh, by the way, Amy, you know where I'm going later today?
Where?
To that hyperbaric chamber place.
Oh, great. You're going to restore.
I'm going to look at that thing.
Okay, awesome.
I'll talk more about that down the road, but you tipped us to that, so we're going to go check it out, okay?
Great. I'll see you.
That's one of these fangled places where you get a real deep cold, you go into a chamber, and then another high-pressure chamber. It sounds like a whole wellness sort of thing. I don't know what I'm talking about.